Finding sex is easier than finding love these days. Why does intimacy feel so accessible while connection feels so rare? That's the first talk I actually had, guys. Welcome back to Seated with Santo Rapedi, man. Woo! Okay, I'm curating this episode, right? So I had two different types of topics that I wanted to talk about at the same time. I didn't know how to combine them. One, which I think ties to the other one, is why am I so lonely? Am I now getting into my adult season of finding myself being in an alone space all the time? And I also wanted to just discuss about connections as well, the connections we make, and that obviously being sex, obviously finding sex being easier than love. But yeah, but before we get into this, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to a brand new one. Today I'm on the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Levels creating the episode, so I'm excited, but I'm good, man. Yeah. A lot of moving parts happening there, but on Betty Media, there's a lot going on. But it's exciting, right? You know, on the way to the studio, I was actually like vlogging.
I
was talking to the vlog. Because every time I come to the studio, every day, like praise and worship the whole way, right? And then like when I get here and I park, I try pray for like 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes of prayer, 2 minutes of prayer, or I'll pray somewhere, right? So now I was explaining to the vlog that I'm in a season where I've been praying for God to just like overwhelm me with blessings and work. Yeah. I was like, God, I might not be ready for that 100-meter contract, but put it in my lap. And I haven't been getting it, right? But I have been getting a lot of opportunities. Like right now, I've got two new interns. I basically worked with
this. Welcome.
Welcome to Rabidi Media. So they're in training, right? So it's like I spoke to Michelle about needing, you know, extra hands, and she explained to me some program which basically gives you people to work with. And now I'm in the training position.
I was actually part of that program.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. So now I haven't gotten these overwhelming blessings, but I'm getting support.
Yeah.
So I've got two new hands which I have to train how to be just as great as Mbali, Ruby, and Tabang.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that, okay, cool. I might be playing in times two. Like, things are coming in times one, you know what I'm saying? So I'm still trying to practice gratitude for the movements that I'm having in the company when it comes to Pumzile and Dima, and then, you know, Mbali coming in every day. Mbali's in the studio! So I don't know if I'm going to say why Mbali's coming every day, but Mbali used to work from home, but now she's coming every day.
Hybrid.
And the Rambedi Media team knows why. Tabang's in the studio. We've got P in the studio too. It's dope. It's a vibe. Can I go to the left?
Yeah, you can. You can say anything. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Okay, we got Footy in the studio. Footy Loops.
Footy Woo.
Footy Woo. And of course, we've got the 2 year interns. We've got Dima and Pumzile. But man, I'm good. I've been really focused on business, which is not the greatest thing. But luckily, like, my hand has been telling me, like, bro, like, relax. I'm going to Cape Town tomorrow.
Oh, yes, yes.
So
I didn't know this.
Red Bull invited me to Cape Town. My flight was at, like, 7 p.m.
They do one of those ones. That was
7 p.m. Okay, okay, yeah. I was meant to come back Sunday at, like,
did you change it? 10,
I changed my flight to 9 a.m. 9
a.m., there we go, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I booked my hand a flight, too, and then I'm coming back on Monday. So I'm changing my flight to Monday.
Like it's going
to
be a nice time.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to book an accommodation for the Sunday night. Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna relax. I'm gonna like. I'm gonna tell him, buddy, don't text me unless I'm making more than X amount in this conversation. You understand?
Yeah.
So man, I'm excited. I'm excited to relax, go to the beach, and experience Cape Town with my girlfriend for the first time.
Yeah, real.
Like I've experienced Cape Town many times, but now with my girlfriend, it's gonna be really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm okay, man. Just taking it day by day. I'd like to say, this week was quite tough, man. I wanna say, howdy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but this week was quite tough, man. Like, but it's about mindset, you know. Like, I've been reading a lot. Like, and not just reading, like fiction. I've been reading, like, about politics. I've been reading about, like, just businesses. I've been reading about random
stuff. Yeah, you've been in a research era.
Like, I've just been reading so much. Like, my laptop's by me. Like, whenever I'm alone or whatever, my phone, I'm just always reading. And it's just, like, the most crazy random stuff that's happening in South Africa.
You know when you started? When you started?
Why? Yeah, yeah.
When you started doing research for the IMA.
Oh, yeah.
I think it pushed you into that loop of doing research.
That's actually so true.
Yeah.
It brought me back into that thing of, like, being curious. So I've just been reading quite a lot, you know what I mean? And I feel like, you know, for a long time, I've been praying for just the same stuff, like opportunity. Just opportunity, like, but I'm realizing that we must be, when we pray for stuff, we must understand that God's going to equip you with other stuff. Like, for example, now, I really feel like mentally, emotionally, like I'm made of steel this year. Like, yeah. Like now I'm made of steel, bro.
What's
like,
that thing? Vibranium. What's that thing from Wakanda?
Vibranium. Yeah, yeah, correct.
You're vibranium. Even your toenails are vibranium.
Yeah. So like nothing, which is kind of weird for me because usually like everything was like super sensitive to me, like in my life.
Yeah.
Like let's say like I have a conversation with you, and like let's say something goes wrong.
Yeah,
that would affect me like heavily. Like I would go home, be sad, all the stuff. Now I'm lucky, just taking things day by day. But I have such a positive attitude towards the future. Mm. I feel like there's so many things that are coming. There's so many things that are about to happen, and I feel like we are putting the mindset, the discipline, and the focus in place to be able to achieve those things.
Yeah,
obviously. Are we actioning it out on a daily basis? I don't think so. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
But it's all about what is it called? Trying to become a better man every single day.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm really hitting it, bro. Like and yeah. I've seen power in what is it called? Having journeys that are based on a certain thing. So having an emotional journey that's not affected by anything else. Like now your emotional journey is affected because Mang Mang needs a lift. You know what I mean? To work, whatever. You know what I mean? Now it's like your whole day is ruined.
Trigger people inside here.
I'm just saying in general, like you, I'm trying to have, what's that thing? Strength. Yeah. Mental. I don't have the word for it. I don't want to say solitude. But anyways, that's basically it. But anyways.
That's nice that you said that because I remember a month ago.
Yeah.
I was at church, nah?
Yes.
And then they were speaking about like God blessing you, the Holy Spirit, like all these things. And they said that God can never bless a mess.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're saying that like now you're made of steel, which I see as vibranium, and you are, you know, emotionally sound.
Yeah.
Like God can now bless you.
Yes.
And you can now receive the blessings from just the world and life, you know? Because now imagine if someone blessed you with millions and then your emotional regulation is on zero.
Yeah.
Now when a client says, that's not good enough, you crash out.
Yeah, you crash out.
Now when you get that's not good enough, you know how to quick feedback, fix.
We went through like the most crazy thing the other day. So my girlfriend's tire popped, right? She's here, that's why I'm pointing.
Oh. Yeah.
Girlfriend's tire popped and guys, so just for context, so the only time I changed the tire, I had to call my brother.
Yeah.
And he came with Makadi and Lucas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they saw at me for like maybe 30 minutes telling me what type of man doesn't know how to change a tire. So this was finally my moment. You know what I mean? To change a tire. Yeah, As a man,
the
bolts were tight as hell. I'm there jumping. You know when you're jumping on that thing, guys? That thing that turns the...
I'm jumping on it.
But I had an extreme analogy that I said, isn't life and God so beautiful that like this as a simplified metaphor, right?
Yeah.
The fact that the first day I popped my tire, I thought to myself, my life is ruined. My dad's going to kill me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be known as Lebo Ram because the petty's gone. I'm no longer associated to any petty family. And now... going through that, my brother helping me, my brother's friends that I consider brothers as well, helping me, my brother's helping me. And then now my turn to help. What about it being that son? And then the next time, maybe my son or daughter will call me and say, hey, my tire's popped. And that's what I'm discovering is life. Like it's about like going through the difficult times to be prepared for the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyways, let me not get...
That's beautiful. No, I hear that.
But what do you think? You can say anything if you have any thoughts.
That was beautiful. I hear that.
Okay, awesome. Okay, cool. So we've got a couple of topics that I want to engage in, you know.
Yeah.
I just want to speak about where this is coming from, right? A big thing that I've seen in my younger 20s as a man that I see that a lot of men struggle with is lust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they don't struggle with making connections. So they're struggling with lust, but they're not struggling with making connections. And
making what connections being so lust being masturbation,
lots
of sex, multiple sex partners, sexual partners.
It can also
basically the thing that drives you to interact with somebody.
Yeah,
is sexual.
Yeah,
with no craving for emotional connection.
Yeah, and I wanted to go into because this is one of our subtopics, which is the illusion of intimacy, right? And I wanted to discuss how, like, sometimes how our physical doesn't always access our emotional in the equation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of depth of making a connection, right?
Yeah.
And what I've seen in myself, right? Because lust has been probably one of, in my top five problems. I think lust is like my, it used to be my fourth biggest problem, right?
Yeah.
It used to consume me. Not every single day. The needing of woman's attention, the craving of a woman's attention, the this dying need of not being able to satisfy one's flesh. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of men are going to be like, yo, let me tap into this one.
Yeah, because even...
This is a very serious one. There,
and you can continue. Even like, I used to suffer from this like... was it 2 years ago, last year?
Yeah.
You know, it's always tough to talk about things you suffered from recently.
Yeah. Because now you might say...
If I throw it too far, I'm like, no, man, I was in a relationship if I throw it to 3 years ago. But okay, so last year, right? I suffered this thing. I used to struggle, man, to end the day and not go see a girl.
Yeah, man.
Like, I needed to, like, hit up somebody, go see a baby, like someone in my roster and be like, yo, what's going on? What are you doing today? And I felt the need just to service them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what are you doing? Have you eaten? Let's hang out. Let's watch a movie. Just to hear a female voice. And that's lust.
Yeah.
And I think maybe internally I was seeking connection.
Yeah.
But I knew that I'm not going to get connection from Pantesa.
Why do you think that it's so easy for, and I'm going to highlight all of us, South Africans, to have these physical connections without an emotional connection? Like, why do you think, especially in our country, because we're such a groove, club, fun,
alcohol-oriented
community.
Yeah.
So why do you think, in your personal opinion, like, do we fall so quick into physical connections but not emotional? Because it's the same with like everything.
I feel like South Africans, like, number one, I think we just have that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, South African guys, like, as much as you guys might think that we're not attractive and beautiful, they're too fast, man. They know how to, like, push game.
Yeah.
So they're very, like, you know, it's a nice dance. They're very, like, you know, poetic. We can court a woman, very poetic. And in all layers of life, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I go to my grinds, I can see how the guys pass the girls. Like, it's almost like they're speaking Italian, man.
It's almost like they're singing. Have you ever heard a Zulu man fussle a girl he really, really, really wants that doesn't know anything about?
Yeah.
All he has about, no, 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 no. It sounds like he's like, you know, when the birds are dancing for the woman's attention.
So that's the number one. Number two, I mean, you raised the point.
Yeah.
South Africans love alcohol.
Yeah.
So when we drink alcohol, of course, like, our senses aren't as strong.
Yeah.
And we fall to lust and temptation and to just irrational decision making.
Yeah.
Naturally. And then three, man, I think everyone's just so beautiful in South Africa. Like,
very attractive people.
Like, that's just all look really good. I know these aren't like, you know, your typical,
but it's very honest
answers, but it's how I feel.
It's very honest.
Like, everyone looks good and alcohol consumption is high, which really blurs the lines.
Yeah.
And also, like, obviously, there's also deeper layers.
Yeah. So I've watched a couple of like movies, and you know me, I'm a big movie head and stuff.
Yeah.
The number one recurring theme that I see in these movies that I always think is so super unrealistic is how, like, you'll have like the best female or male friend in this relationship, right?
Yeah.
And they're supporting them the whole movie, wada wada, until the very end where they confess,
I love you.
I love you. And I've never actually wanted to be your friend. I've always wanted you. And, you know, I wanted to basically say how we also romanticize our friendships. You know what I mean? We add romantic elements into our friendship because obviously it's in our media.
Which shows a lack of boundaries.
Yeah, it shows a lack of boundaries and etc.
Yeah. I mean, just to speak on that, I had this friend back in 2016.
Yeah.
First year.
Yeah.
She was like, dude, in the first year, I'm so, and you know her, she's like, dude, I'm so worried with myself because every single friendship that I have with a man, she's a lady, I tend to fall to lust.
Yeah.
Like, we can be friends for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But as soon as he wants me,
yeah,
I give myself to him.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? She's like, I need to really look at my values and my
boundaries. And what are you pulling in?
Yeah, because she was saying that, like, either one, she's got an internal issue.
Yeah.
Or she's either one, I have an internal issue as long ago.
Shame. It's not even her fault.
Or she said she likes to set boundaries.
I'm gonna explain why. I have a good friend, Khunze. His mind is very fascinating.
The amount of times you've thrown Khunze into the mind podcast.
I love his mind. It's very fascinating. Because there's a rare few amount of people that are so courageous enough to just always speak things how they see it. And they don't know how wise the things they are saying is, right? And he said to me, Lebo, when you are making a female friend, what are some of the things that you're looking for in a female friend? I started laughing out loud. Because as a man, look, Thabang is laughing out loud. You smiled at me immediately. Because as a man,
it's the guilt.
It's the guilt. Because we all know, as men, you make very attractive friends.
Yeah.
Number one. No one is anyone going to deny me in the studio before I continue?
No, sir.
Girlfriends included before I continue. I'm just joking. No, but he said to me, what do you look for when you're making a female friend? He said, this is the problem with men. You make, you, and some men do this, ne? Some men are, and you must understand, I truly believe every man has an entrepreneurial spirit in them. Yeah. So every man has the potential to make long-term decisions, long-term investments that are going to benefit them.
Yeah.
That also exists in relationships. Mm. Some men can look at you and see a long-term fixed account compound.
Mind you, 7 years
compound
plan.
Interest.
You know, by year six, you'll be able to achieve here. By year six, at the rate that you're working, maybe you might be able to.
The trajectory of the income or something, you know what I mean? But he basically insinuated to me that all male friendships or female friendship is the baseline starts of attraction.
Yeah.
So you find this person attractive. You then have a conversation with them and you realize, no, man, this person is what? Cool. You know what I mean? So now you found an attractive, cool. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you something. Sorry, I'm getting to it, man. So now you found an attractive, cool person in your life and you have these conversations. And when you use the friend card, you start being able to be what? Emotionally vulnerable.
Mm.
So now you have what? A connection. So she's cool. She's attractive, and she's emotionally connected to you. Then what happens? Something called I'm catching feelings. Because now she's ticking every box that a woman's
looking at your girlfriend like, I man.
Emotional connection.
This person is not cool.
This person is not emotionally
This person is emotionally literate.
When you say, I had a bed, not again. When you go to the female friend, she says, come here.
Really?
Let me make you, what? Let me make you something to eat. And maybe that poses the question, because it is actually a question in this.
Yeah.
And the illusion of intimacy, because obviously that intimacy of a friend. How do we now, as men and women, go back to the times of having genuine female friend connections, especially in such an extreme hookup culture? Because I've met girls that are like, yo, I wish I had at least like one male friend, but I'm just too bad to have male friends. Like they always just fall for me. There's nothing I can do. What would you advise women?
I mean,
there's a similar problem.
Based off of the facts you've given me, step number one, I think guys should open their hearts to making friends with women that they don't find attractive.
Okay.
I think if you can be with a woman and it's not based off of, you know, how she physically looks, you might even find that she's cool, smart, leads you, does so much more.
Hold you accountable.
Can play the same role as a liberal MP in your life. I think that's step one.
Yeah.
Step two, I believe in this so heavily. It's like boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to have female friends, like, Chomi, you can't be venting to me every day about your man, about your life. Like, I've got a girlfriend. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, maybe we link up. You know what I'm saying? When we link up, you can say, yo, I had a tough week. Then I'm like, yeah, let's keep it at a certain level. I think we're so scared as guys and women to not keep certain emotions at a certain level.
Yeah.
You don't have to vent and cry to everyone in your life. So that boundary is very important. You know what I'm saying? So one, don't skim my hands because they are pretty. Step two, like have emotional boundaries, right?
Yeah.
So be careful what you speak about. And even frequency.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't be speaking to Ntabi saying more than I speak to a Percy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then step number four, which I think is very, very important, she shouldn't be allowed to hook up with any of your friends.
Your female friend shouldn't be able to hook up with any of your male friends.
Yes.
You see, another controversial take. Because now one would suggest, based on the statement, not who you are, based on the statement, one would suggest you are now gatekeeping. No, that's what the friends are going to say.
So a good wise friend of mine once said, hey, Khunse, he introduced a girl into our social group.
Yes.
And he said, guys, I'm asking you guys so nicely. You hungry lions. You hungry lions. Please do not court this young girl. Lady.
Yeah, he did do that. Yeah.
And then a lot of the guys
picked up on this trend.
They said, what? How come? King, do you want her? He said, no.
I just want to
it's purely due to
balance.
The fact that if you start relations with this young lady,
yeah,
and what is inevitable, you breaking this young lady's heart,
yeah,
she can no longer be comfortable in this space that I call, you know, my group of friends. Because now when she comes and she walks and shows a tattoo and she gets heart palpitations.
Yeah.
Because I've instilled trauma in the poor girl.
Yeah.
So that's why I raised point 4. And that also, I mean, it also contributes towards point 3, which is which is boundaries.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm
saying? I actually want to get into boundaries, right? Let's because we're still talking about the physical connection, how we can better physical connections and have an emotional connection attached to that.
Yeah.
But let's go into the boundaries you're talking about. Because we live in a fast-paced world where, for example, dating apps gamify attraction.
Yeah.
It's basically become a game, like,
I've got this many. Is it left, right, up and down?
I don't know. I've actually never. Have you ever used the dating app, by the way?
Yeah, I got it in 2020. I was shooting a YouTube video.
Oh, yeah.
So I think.
But you've never used it for your personal
use. Left is
use.
No, right is yes, up is next.
Up is next.
No, up is yes, or before.
Up is before.
Something like, doesn't matter.
So anyways.
It's gamified.
Cool. But have you ever used it in your own
capacity?
Personal life?
No.
So let me tell you a story. So I wanted to use it one time.
Yeah.
Right?
Wait, which year was this?
Oh man.
But you can't. I feel like
I think it was the year after uni.
I feel like influencers can't use
those there
things.
We go. So
because someone will take a picture and say on Twitter, oh my gosh, they're impersonating you. You're impersonating me. I'm looking for love. I'm desperate for love.
And then like when people like screenshot Facebook accounts and say, this is not me, they can't, it's me for real. It's me for real. So
you're saying
So I download this app. Nah.
So it's 2022.
It's like, I think 2022. I download this app. It's Tinder. I'm not going to lie to you. It's Tinder.
Yeah.
I download the app. It's downloaded on my iPhone. Yeah. I'm opening up the app.
Yeah.
Then I take out that app and I delete the app and I say, let me go have game in the real world. Because I was like, focus, King. Focus. But not everyone has
the same opportunities you have.
Same opportunities and etc. So I understand. But I wanted to bridge this conversation into digital boundaries. Which is something that I feel like in today's age we don't have. Mutu can call you anytime. Mutu can send you a reel at any time.
Someone can send you a DM now and say, oh my God, those pants are so ugly and your hairline is crooked to the left.
And that's it. And I love
no repercussion, by the way.
I love this topic in terms of like connection and stuff, because obviously boundaries is the first place of building our connections, the things that you put in place. But especially online where we're meeting so many people. But I love this TikTok. This guy said, guys, I need to tell you something. If I tell you goodnight at 7 p.m. on WhatsApp and you send me a TikTok at 11 p.m. on TikTok, I was 7 p.m. I was sleeping on WhatsApp. On WhatsApp, I'm asleep.
Yes.
On my TikTok I'm awake. So don't confuse my... But indirectly, that guy didn't know that he was setting digital boundaries in his life. So that like, the connections that he has on WhatsApp, for example, don't disturb him past 7 p.m., 11 p.m. So I don't know. What are some of the digital boundaries do you think that you are putting in place in your life? If they aren't, what are some that you want to achieve?
So I used to be very strict with digital boundaries, especially on a business sense.
Really?
But it's changed now.
Okay.
Right? So I used to say I don't answer any numbers that I don't have saved because who's calling me?
But now it's opportunities.
But
that's
opportunities,
never know.
Right? Yeah. Two, I used to be so firm. I used to never work after 5. And if anybody called me after 5, like anybody, I wouldn't answer. Only in Bali. I used to be very, very firm about that.
Yeah.
Even you guys, even seated, if you text me, I would respond the following day, right? But now because of the nature of our work, that's changed and null and void. But I do want to say, if somebody is calling me and we don't frequently call each other and it's not work-related, there's a 9 out of 10 chance I won't answer the phone.
So that's
one of my biggest boundaries. Okay. Like, don't call me without preparing me unless you are level.
Yeah.
Percy, Hunte,
like
Tina, or Sikhe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or Mbali, because Mbali is always calling me for things.
Because that's in my circle.
Yeah. So that's one of my digital boundaries. Yeah. Another one of my digital boundaries is that I don't feel the need to have to respond to people asking me for help anymore.
Okay.
Right? I don't I can completely mise you.
Yeah.
I used to want to say, sorry, I can't help you right now. Sorry. It's like, I will mise.
Yeah.
Because I've told myself that I've got a certain amount of energy inside of me.
Yeah.
And why must I feel the need to help someone who would, one, never help me, and two, it doesn't benefit me in any way, nor does it grow or help towards my virtues and values. Yeah. So I used to be so scared. I used to be a people pleaser. Like, I have to respond to everyone. But now, like, if you mean nothing to me, I will literally mise you. And if you're watching this at home and I've missed you and you're a loved one, it's not because of this. Maybe I was busy with work. I'm not talking about you.
I was about to say, because, you know, some people sometimes confuse our digital boundaries with busyness. You know what I mean? Like, yo, like, I'm just a busy guy.
Yeah, it's
you
like,
know
no, what no, I mean? No, 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 no.
It's not a boundary that I didn't answer your text the first time. Oh, you called me, I didn't answer.
I think Lebo's even been trying to teach me a digital boundary because I have to call this guy 4 times for him to answer.
You actually look, you need to text me to tell me why you're calling me because
Is that why you'd answer my calls?
No, I'll tell you. No, I'll answer your calls now because I remember there was a time you called me like 4 or 5 times. And on the 5th time I answered, he said, I could have been in an emergency. And ever since then, I just take a deep breath. If you're calling me, I know it can be bad, good news. It can be what, it can be a brand deal, what. So I just take a deep breath and answer now. But before, it was purely because of anxiety. Like, I would just feel anxious that, like, this guy's going to tell me now, ish, we have this that's coming up that needs to be done by this today, by 11 p.m. Because that's the nature of our work.
Yeah.
And you must also understand, like, this is a big one. Because,
So you're all mising me. So this guy's mising me.
No, it was back in the day.
You didn't live with mising
me. Back in the day.
This guy's mising. No, you've been mising me the past 2 months.
Man.
But I get it. Because I used to do the same thing. But dude, text me back.
I answer every single time.
Like if you want to put on the phone, just say yes, ?
You see, you guys see why a podcast is so powerful? Digital boundaries, going through it. And keep in mind, we're still speaking about connection and et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And now, do you feel like our connection has gone down a little bit? Good then. That digital boundary is in place. I will answer on the first call. I could be doing practical. I will answer on the first call. But however, I would like if you text me and say, hey, can I give you a call in like 5?
About this.
Not about. Can I give you a call in 5?
Okay.
That 5 minutes really amazing, by the way. Okay, but anyways, I love what you're saying about the boundaries you're putting in place in the digital world, because I like to believe a lot of our connections are now being built in the digital world.
Realm, yeah.
Now that we've let me say this, I don't want to say we're relationship experts, but we've jollied a couple of times, both you and I, in this
high IQ Nimjolo.
How do we transfer having genuine connections to having genuine connections online then? From someone you've never met, because now we are meeting. We don't meet this person, then we meet.
I don't want those things. I won't lie. So I don't believe in genuine. And I mean, I've got my partner has like a genuine connection, but then she ended up meeting the girlies or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't believe in genuine connections online. Like it needs to really make a lot of sense. And if I'm gonna make a connection with you online, I want to see you. I want to meet you.
Yeah,
I want to have access to you.
Yeah,
because this is one girl. She's an amazing YouTuber. I won't say her name.
Yeah,
but I liked her work. I sent her a DM. I'm like, yo, dude, your blog's really bang. Like, keep it up. Because I also know the power of getting a DM from someone that does what you do. Do you get what I'm saying? It can uplift the spirits and keep you going. And I genuinely liked her work. And then, crazy enough, the following week I met her at an event, right? And we knew they were going because we were busy sharing each other's outfits.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a digital connection. Like, oh, I'm going to wear this because there was a theme.
Yeah.
Like, formal with the touch of elegance or something crazy like that.
Themes are getting out of hand.
Yeah, they're getting insane.
They're getting out of hand.
That's why Khunza didn't come. He's like, this theme is too bad.
No, sometimes I read a theme and I'm like, dude, I'm looking, I can't do this.
Yeah. Anyway, so I meet her, then it's cool, but I was just CK, so I think she was like also trying to be respectful, a bit shy.
Yeah.
But I was engaging because my girlfriend is really, really cool.
Yeah. She's also very friendly, bubbly.
Also very friendly, bubbly.
Yeah.
And then after that, I then messaged her. I said, tell me when you get home. And then she messaged me that, yo, I got home safely. Then I invited her into my community. I said, yo, dude, by the way, you know I've got a studio. You should pull through.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be vlogging. I vlog pretty much every single day. You should land. She didn't land, though.
Oh, okay.
But my point is, if I have a digital connection with you, I'm going to make it physical.
Yes, but
I can't have a friend, like, for 3 months we were just talking. What are we talking about?
Yeah, but okay, cool. But that's basically you answering the question. So you're saying that, like, when you're building these genuine connections online, it's good to go from the internet world to the realistic plane of society.
Because everyone is cool online.
Everybody is cool online.
People have personalities online. When you meet them in person, they are...
You know why? It's stickers, man.
It's stickers. And
whoever made stickers, man, you gave everybody personality.
You broke
bro.
The sixth dimension.
You literally gave everybody personality. Like, you must understand, a good GIF, a good photo, like, gives you personality. But I like it. Okay, I want to also answer this question. Because I also feel like, you know, me, being like a comedian online, right? A lot of people try to like become your friend. And I number one comments I always see is like, I wish I could just chill a day with Lebo and have a braai and not chop. Or not knowing that Lebo at a braai doesn't even wash the dishes. He doesn't even want to be close to the fire. He doesn't like smelling like smoke. Yeah. You know what I mean? Even though those are not true, I do like those things. But
hypothetically speaking.
Yeah. So what I've realized is exactly what you're saying. So when you're building these online connections, make sure that who you're speaking to, you actually call them, video call them maybe once, twice before linking up, just to see, is this person like a real person?
So you advocate for online?
I do. But I also say it is a very dangerous, dangerous world. Because it's exactly as you say, people portray, they perform online.
They show their best parts.
They show their best parts. They show this thing that is easy to get hooked into.
Yeah.
Hence, influencers. Simple, like, you know what I mean? These things exist in our worlds, you know what I mean? So maybe you might have an influencer in your life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know, bro, because I was deeping this, right? Think back to your... Did you ever have like a Playboy era?
Yeah.
You had a Playboy era, right?
Yeah.
In your Playboy eras, right, would you then speak to these people, have connections with them on...
Remember, I'm different.
Oh, yeah, you're different. I forgot.
I'm different. So I love my whole roster. Oh, my heart.
He's a love bomber.
I'm a lover.
He's a love bomber.
Yeah, what's it called? 9 to 10, I'm calling Lerato. 10 to 11, I'm calling Sipo Kazi.
Call me Tato Oppenheimer.
I used to connect to everybody. So you know this. Like, I'm a terrible example of
I was horrible. Okay, I wasn't the best.
Yeah.
For me, physical connections would come so easy.
Yeah.
And I really feel like it's due to personality.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
But you raised an amazing point like a year ago.
Oh, yeah?
You said the reason why most of my friendships and relationships do so well because I entertain myself and I'm so
good at making yourself
You enjoy yourself so much. People around you are just muses. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So like, valid. Continue, but valid. I'm just saying, I was adding to your points.
Sorry, you threw me off, but that's such a valid thing.
Yeah.
So I said that. Yes. That's a valid thing. You threw me off, man. But it makes sense. Okay, cool. Let me just move on to my next question.
No, but real. Like, I mean, in the player era,
yeah,
there were some people that didn't have,
thank you,
you know, that connection.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a me thing. I know people think I'm lying, but I really struggle to have sex with somebody without really having some sort of emotional connection. Or liking something about them. Like, if your mind is a bit off, your work ethic is... Like, if something is rotten, man, I can't go that far with you. I might be able to flirt with you, kiss you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But also, that's me also playing the game for myself.
Yeah, I wish I could do, like a mass apology. Like, on something like, yo, guys, I'm so sorry. I was so young. I was like... Because, no, for real, I do. Because once your... What's it called? Frontal lobe develops... It also comes with like a history, like, you know, laptop history. Yes. And you're like, wow, man, I went to that website how many times, you know? So I also feel kind of bad, but I also understand that when you're young, right, especially as an individual where it's so easy to make connections with people, right, you lose sight in the value of a connection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of how beautiful a connection could be. Mm. And it's only when a man or a woman starts to like... I want to say lower the numbers in a friendship group or lower the access people have to them, that they really feel what a real true connection is. Mm. And I guess that's what I'm leading to next in mind. What do you think a real connection? So when people are at home sitting and like, yo, I don't know if I have a connection with this person or not. What do you think a true, romantic connection looks like in this day and age? A true romantic, not posting a shoulder, posting the thigh. It's not a Nando's menu where you choose thigh gap or whatever they choose, piece of meat. No. A true real connection. In your honest words.
Yeah, in my honest words, I mean, I'm probably going to be describing my partner and his relationship.
Yeah, if that's what you feel like a true honest connection is. No, because sometimes God will tell you, yes, it's a true honest connection, but 5 years from now it can be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, what's working and feels like a true
honest connection? Yes, there we go.
So we really care deeply about each other.
Okay.
I think a lot of the time in relationships, one person cares more about the other person.
Yeah.
So Tato's there doing all the dances, making all these jokes to impress Mabatu.
Yeah.
Right? So Mabatu can feel love. And then he's hyper-focused on pouring into a cup to make her feel loved.
Yeah.
And then she's just there experiencing the love. you know. And she's there like, oh wow, this is so nice, this is so comfortable, this restaurant is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my maybe my man is so handsome, he's so nice to me. But she's not doing anything to pour back into him.
Yeah.
So I think a genuine connection is naturally when two people pour into each other at a high level.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's very, very important that like, yo, Sita's pouring into Tato, Tato's pouring into Sita.
Yeah.
And then number two, I'd say like priority levels for me. Right? How quick, because this also shows me how much you love me. Like, how much do you prioritize me in your life? Because we know we've got family, we've got work, we've got friends, we've got things of the flesh.
Yeah.
Where do you put me in that rank?
Where's my role?
Where's my role? And how often do you want to see me? But obviously that plays to my love language, quality time. But that's also a very important thing to me. So how do you prioritize me? And then three, like, dude, can we be in any situation together and have the time of our life?
Yeah.
Obviously, that thing takes the longest time. But I know that if I go to a wing bar, news cafe, bowling, go for a walk, hiking, at the gym,
sit still,
at work, sit still, reading, praying, eating, watching groceries, something, I'm enjoying whatever. My partner's, the way she interprets all those things,
yeah,
all the time.
And how she acts in those
and
spaces.
How she acts. So the way she... When we watch a movie, the way she behaves when she watches a movie.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that she's just so attentive when she watches a movie. She has to finish a movie. Yeah. I'm there pausing like, yo! And she also loves that, but she doesn't do the same thing.
Yeah.
When we're at News Cafe, I love the fact that like, she wants to like, you know, I know she wants to drink that margarita.
Yeah.
She wants to have tequila shots. She wants to maybe like, make certain things. Like, I can't speak about the things she wants to do, but it's like, it's fun things. So I love her in all those situations and I enjoy her in all those situations. Yeah. So I believe that a pure love or a pure whatever
true connection,
a true connection is based off of that. How much do you enjoy your person? Do they prioritize you? And do you enjoy their character? Also, Hans, Hans talks so much, right?
So much.
Like women talk, bro. Yeah. So as a guy, if you can tolerate, and no one can tolerate 100% of that, it's impossible. But if you can tolerate a good 80% of what comes out of your partner's mouth, also shows that
it's a true like connection. A bit of a sidebar. Do you ever just go, when you're listening? Do you?
No, I'm very attentive with everything.
Really?
Just loves the podcast.
Nice one. PR training.
What about you? What would you say a pure connection is?
I think what you said is such a nice answer to like summarize it. Mm. It's seeing how your body reacts in front of this person.
Mm.
It's because everything is so like.
It's so crazy. Sorry. Continue.
Yeah, I like to think relationships are so reflective.
Yeah,
it's so reflective. Like you can tell how the relationship is doing based on yourself alone. You know what I mean?
People come to the story and say, "Yo, but why do you look so tired?
You know that guy is fighting for his life." Or it might be another thing.
Mm, so, hey, boy, you have a glow today. What's going on?
Or you might see a man walk in smiling and the jiggy got the best round of his life in the morning. It's the truth.
Words of affirmation.
One of the two.
Yeah.
Both feel the same sometimes. For me, a true, real connection, which is actually, I was going to go into this, that's my next thing.
Don't go to the next thing yet. Okay. I want to speak about something that you said that's so profound.
Okay. Cool. But I also wanted to say something from what you said about the pouring thing, because that's a very big thing. And I want to say something to everyone. When you are in a relationship, and you refuse to pour, what happens is that you might see a tap in your relationship, but don't know where the water's coming from.
Wait, say that again.
They're not going to understand that. If you are in a relationship
and
you refuse to pour, you might see a tap in your relationship and don't know where the water's coming from.
Yes.
It means your partner might pour into you and he has energy every day, but you don't know who's pouring into him. My sister, be very careful.
His cup is going low because it's getting heavy.
Yeah, it's getting heavy. There's a tap. Kim, man, we went from two jugs. There's a tap now in our relationship.
He's buying more glasses.
And he's smiling. On the WhatsApp. When he talks to you, he's there.
Huh?
Yeah. So I wanted to say that. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, and I said this to you.
Yeah.
I think that's a story I tell you. Like, one of the things that me and my partner love saying, even though it's so messed up, it's so dark, it's for best and for better.
Yeah.
And I truly believe true connections always aim to be better.
Yeah.
You always aim to be the best type of person for that person in every scenario, and the best type of person for yourself.
Yeah.
And that scenario.
Yeah.
It's reflexive. Yeah. If you are waking up every day, 7 a.m., and pushing your partner to be the best person they are, it's going to come out. But if you're waking up at 12,
yeah,
and you check your phone, and then you doom scroll for 5 hours on TikTok, you are literally going, and I know it's indirect and it's so unfair, but you're going to bring out the worst in your partner.
Yeah.
It's all tied together. I don't know. What's the point that you wanted to raise?
We spoke about it a little bit, but it's basically... Because I remember I was with CK, and then we were in an environment that's uncomfortable to her.
Oh, yeah.
And she was so confused as to why she's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I went to church, and then the pastor was speaking about how your body reacts around different environments.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then we unpacked it like for like an hour, and we basically came to the conclusion that your body will never lie to you. Mm. Right? Like, how you feel is... the Holy Spirit or just your conscious telling you that, dude,
yeah,
I am uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think nobody should take that for granted at home. Yeah. If you're in a work environment and you feel that, no, man, I don't feel glad.
Yeah.
And the feeling can even be in your head, right? It can even be in your thoughts. That's something that you need to really consider and unpack.
Yeah, so
because
real.
It's up to you
so real.
To then further and better how to prevent that feeling happening. Either one, you have to remove yourself from that situation. Or two, you need to speak up and make yourself comfortable. Because I've been in rooms where I just feel so heavy or like I'm anxious or I'm looking left. I don't feel safe. I could even be looking left and right in a safe environment.
Yeah.
So I think the way the body is reacting, we can't take it for granted.
Yeah.
And another thing which is completely irrelevant, but if you watch my vlogs, I've been drinking a lot of carrot juice.
Yeah.
Because my eyes have been sore, and you guys know this for the past few months or years.
When you watch too many cartoons. So you think you drink carrot juice, your eyes are going to start to leak. Why?
So I've been drinking carrot juice, and then secretly been putting a lot of carrots into my food. Because my eyes do feel a bit better. Can you see I'm wearing glasses today?
Yeah.
But I think they're still acting up a bit,
no? No. Yeah. Like, they are stronger. Yeah.
So, also there's less light. Maybe that's also another reason. Yeah. But my point is, a lot of the times, and it plays to what I'm saying now, a lot of the times we like putting remedies.
Yeah.
To situations instead of focusing on what's causing the situation. Do you get what I'm saying? So even at work or in these uncomfortable situations, maybe your body is tired. Now you say, "Ish, I need pause to make me relax." No.
Yeah.
What's causing
what's the
that
cause
thing?
Of that thing?
So even me with my eyes have been strained, have been sore. I've been eating carrots and drinking carrot juice.
Yeah.
And my eyes feel better. So we need to start looking
so profound,
at the core of things.
Like that what you just said could be applied to so many situations. Factors and of life. But I really like it. Because obviously we've been talking about connections, etc. Because it all ties to the overall topic of why. And now we just can be honest. Why is it finding sex being easier than building a true connection? And we've just basically answered the question throughout the podcast. It's because building a true connection takes time. It takes discipline. It takes
pain.
We spoke first about lust. We spoke about all of this, but. Now, this is the hardest part of a true connection. How do I love while I'm still healing? Mm. How do I love while I'm still in my, I need therapy, I need this, I need stage. How do I love when there's still so much I'm figuring out about relationships? How do I love when it's my first ever proper relationship?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do you do that? Because that's when it becomes easier. Because it's like, why would I do all of that work on myself? Why would I show myself that love, that care, that attention? Why would I not just have sex with random people and have be cutful and leave it at that? So,
Yeah. Okay, so to answer the one layer of your question,
like
building an emotional connection with somebody has far better long-term benefits.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to even speak about like the benefits of having sex with one person versus five. Yeah. It's better for you. You'll have someone to cry, like someone to speak to. Yeah. You have someone to have fun with. You'll have trust.
Obama. Just doing examples. Obama. The Obamas.
Yeah, the Obamas. The Leborambedis.
The Trumps.
You know what I'm saying? You'll be happier. You'll be successful. But to go into the other... Why did I lose the other question?
How can we love...
Yes.
Can we heal, while trying to find true connections?
So a controversial take from me.
Oh, here we go.
I don't believe people who are going through so much mental pain should even be looking at Mjolo.
Tato always says this on the podcast, and I'm like, always like the other side.
No, because I've been a
victim.
You're
allowed to say that,
of being with someone who needs to work on themselves.
Yeah.
They use me as an scapegoat for their emotions, right? And then from there, they don't heal.
yeah,
then they prolong themselves healing.
Yeah.
So like young people, like if you're 20, 21, 19, 8, whatever age you are, even if you're 35.
Yeah. It's not a young person thing. It's just a life thing.
Yeah. If you need to work on something that's preventing your happiness in life, you can't find happiness from a romantic partner.
Can I explain that? Can I explain?
You need to... Yeah.
I want to explain why that happens. From the other... From being a victim and also being the... What's the other side? Victim me. What's the other one? The perpetrator, abuser. But on the other side, you know what happened?
Yeah.
It's as exactly as you said. You know, you love how this person makes you feel in every scenario.
Yeah.
That when they are away... Because you're lacking in self-love, self-discipline, all those things, you know. You just fall into this negativity. You fall into this pattern of negativity. Yeah. And what happens is that you latch on to the closest good thing, which sometimes for a few of us is our relationships.
Yeah.
And it's not that we're latching on because it's all we know. That's how we're going to behave. Yeah, people. Yeah. You're latching on because that's how you're surviving in this mental hell.
Yeah. I agree. So I'm saying stop that. I'm saying stop that nonsense. Like, latch onto something else.
I'm going to speak about... I'll say what my side, yeah, what continue. I did.
No, I'm just saying that, like, I'm identifying the core issue here.
Yes.
Continue, yeah.
So, for me, I think that, like, people with mental health issues deserve love, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm a big advocate for that. Because that's basically what you're saying. Like, you're basically saying people with mental health issues don't deserve love, which is such a statement. So
they're not ready for, not love. The issue here also is that we assume that love can only come from a romantic partner.
Yeah.
Go and love your parents. Go and love your brother. Go and love your sister. Go and love your friends. And spend some time to work on yourself.
I don't know, man. I'm 50-50 because I... Have you ever been broken up with someone who says they want to work on themselves and then you see them later on in life and you think that you finished working yet or like you're still working you know what I mean? Sometimes I truly believe we have this like escape mentality of like I'm going to work on myself and not face real issues like falling in love and you know, finding partners, and it's an escape. It's an excuse. Because if you spend your whole life finding yourself, you're lost.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
If you spend your whole life finding yourself, you're lost. So, Chief, have some direction in your life. And that's why I think people with mental health issues are still... You can be depressed and be in a relationship, bro. You just need to know how to manage your depression within the relationship. That doesn't spill over and affect everyone around
you. Of course. I mean, you can be... in an abusive relationship and you can manage the relationship.
I get what you're trying to say.
Like, I hear you too. Yes, I'm just saying that it's not a good idea.
Yeah. I think there's definitely like limits.
Like standing in the sun for 10 hours is not a good idea.
No, I think there's...
Being in a relationship with someone that needs to work on themselves like, to that extreme level is not a good idea.
Okay, so what would you say, for example, a lady that discovers she's bipolar within a relationship, she's been in a relationship for a year?
That's different. That's a disorder. That's different. So I'm talking about people who... need to heal from something. I'm not talking about having depression or having bipolar disorder.
True.
I'm talking about like someone that genuinely like Tabang hurt this girl's heart in 2017, and now she cannot let people into their hearts. Or maybe there's this girl who was in a friendship group in the past, and now she can't trust girls because that friendship group betrayed her. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying?
Can I debate with you? So then, would you say in 2025, right now, you've completely healed because you're in a relationship?
Yeah.
Have you focused on yourself?
No.
Fixed everything?
No one can ever be completely healed.
Okay. Because
every day every day we're going through issues.
Yeah.
But there's some things that are so clear that should be clear to you when you look in the mirror that you shouldn't be in a relationship. I could be speaking from a position, because I'm also very self-aware, right?
Yeah.
I could be speaking from a position of past pain.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe this person that had these issues really hurt me.
Yeah.
So now, and I'm even speaking, raising my voice, all these things, it's coming from my emotions I'm feeling as I speak about it. Is linked to that person.
Yeah.
So I could also be wrong, but I genuinely just don't think it's a good idea.
I think that if you do find yourself in this space where you are in a relationship, but you still require healing from your past, that you should make an active effort in it. That's the minimum requirement of...
Please.
If when you're in this true connection...
But that's different, man. People don't do that, though.
But that's what I'm saying. You should be
doing that. People don't do that.
I'm going to be advising.
See, so now if you follow this path, you're in a relationship, you've got some stuff you have to deal with in the past. If you're going to say you're going to love Tato Rampedi, can you please? He said, I'm even making about myself. If you're saying I love that,
you're literally referencing me, you, in, the, in your statement.
If you're saying I love your romantic partner, can you please at least be making an active effort towards healing?
Yeah.
That thing that puts you in such a sour mood every day.
I think.
Let's move on, please.
No, man. I think. Okay, cool. But all of this ties into your self-love and self-care.
Yeah.
That's what we're noticing. We're noticing as we have these conversations in this podcast and seated, in all these conversations that we have, that everything derives from oneself and how much you love yourself. So I want to play a game with you. It's called self-care or self-care minimum. Okay.
Okay.
So it's, so is this self-care or is this like, dude, that's the minimum that you should be doing for yourself?
Like that should be existing.
Yeah,
already.
Yeah. Okay. Or is this like, wow, like self-care? You know what I mean? Like that's self-care. Like, okay, for example, I made the first one very
minimum.
No, I don't know.
You tell me.
Getting a face mask once a week.
Self-care.
Is that self-care or is it self-care minimum? You understanding? It's, you understanding the game?
It's self-care.
Okay, cool. Here's where it gets deep.
Because you're doing it to relax. Okay, but
here's where it gets deep. Checking in on yourself. And peace when you answer must be someone who has done it.
Self-care.
So you're saying it's self-care. I say self-care minimum.
Yeah. Of course, I agree with you. Yeah. But I treat it as self-care.
Yeah.
But I think, so I'm gonna answer based on how I treat it.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I definitely think that should be self-care minimum.
Yeah. Is it or not? Like, no, I need your final answer.
So I treat it as self-care.
Yeah.
That's definitely self-care minimum.
Okay.
Because you need to love yourself and care for yourself. Okay. Like, that's your responsibility.
Okay. Giving yourself grace to have, what's it called? Giving yourself grace to make mistakes.
Self-care minimum.
Is that self-care minimum?
Yeah, like you need to allow, like, life is all about trial and error.
Yeah.
Every day we make 100 mistakes. Not 100, but you make a ton of mistakes and then you learn from them.
Okay. The next one I have is bed rotting.
Self-care.
It's self-care.
Like me being in the bed the whole day.
Yeah. Okay.
That's self-care. Okay. That can be the minimum.
The next one is going out with a group of friends on a night out. This is the last one, by the way. As you can see, I was like,
going out with a group of friends on a night out.
Is that
like anything like dinner?
No, no. Groove, like club.
Club, 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 club.
Club.
Self-harm.
Okay, that was kind of like a trick one at the end. Yeah. Type vibe. You're saying self-harm for the last one.
Self-harm.
Going out of your friends, you see that. That's basically your perception. You know, that's actually your perception.
Yes.
You low-key telling us your perception of going out of your friends.
Yes.
The groove. I hear you, self-harm.
Every time I go to the club, every time I go to group, I literally feel so bad.
You know, Percy called me the other day and said, I haven't seen you so long. And I was like, no wonder my life has been so peaceful. So, like, in order, I haven't had emotional, like, fluctuations and stuff because I'm living a peaceful life.
The club is a dangerous place.
Okay, but anyways, as we get into the closing part of this podcast, I want to say, repeat the line in the beginning. So sex might be easy to find, but love requires showing up, right? It's about being fully consistent without a mask. You know, we spoke about being performative and et cetera.
Yeah.
The final closing reflection is, how do you see that you're ready to do that? That's the final.
I've been the guy that's been saying, hey, yeah, you can't
do this. How did you see that you were finally ready for your true connection?
Yeah, so I think I don't think people do this. I don't think anybody goes,
yeah,
I can love again.
Yeah,
right. I think you usually meet a person and then from there you see how you feel.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, a good feeling is knowing that you can make yourself. And my girlfriend is doing this. Did this before she met me. She could have fun without a romantic partner. She was content and happy without a romantic partner.
Yeah.
So her happiness derived from friendship, self-love, family.
Yeah.
So I think once you're in a position where you know you can enjoy yourself, be happy, go to sleep, wake up. Of course you can, like, you know, yearn for love and relationships. Everyone has that feeling. But as soon as you're happy and you are content with your life, that's a good indicator that you can accept love.
I think I'll end it off with a joke. Right? So there's two men, right? One is single, one is cuffed. They're on two different sides of a river, right? The other guy goes, bro, come to this side. Relationships are nice. You can see there's bananas, there's apples, there's strawberries. The other guy's on the other side. There's But I know his apples, they still varies. But this guy keeps telling him that that side is nice. So as the guy do, he goes into the water. Nearly drowns. Goes back to his side. Goes to the other side. Tries to jump to the other side. Boom. Splashes into the water. And then the guy on the other side says, "Chief, follow me down the river." He walks down the river. And he sees that that guy that's on the other side made a bridge. Mm. You will never be ready for a relationship unless you're ready to take a risk. Mm. On yourself. On your partner.
Yeah.
You need to be able to build your bridge.
Yeah.
You're going to look at people left and right your whole life, wishing to be on the other side without thinking, how can I get to the other side?
Yeah.
And that is why you always stay single. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's this obsession of self, this obsession of being too scared to go to the other side. So take a risk, try find your true connection with the knowledge that you might find false connections, that you might fall into the river, you might jump into the river.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. Hope you guys enjoyed this podcast with Seated of Lebo and Tata Rampedi, a curated conversation about sex and true connections. We will see you guys next time. And for those who have a bit more money in their pockets, we'll see you soon on membership. Bye, guys. See it.